We're live now. We're glad that you have tuned in today to be able to listen to what God's Word says on the questions that are on your heart. This is Let the Bible Speak, a live broadcast. Today is the 13th of April, and we are honored to be able to be in your presence, even though through the radio. We hope your Bible is ready. You have paper and pencil at hand so that you can write down the answers to the questions that are on your mind. So, here we go. If you will just go ahead and call 308-9564 with your question, we will go to the Bible for the answer. The lines are available. Many of you know that at the end of the broadcast, many times the questions pile up and also the callers tend to pile up and can't get through. So now is your chance to be able to get your question in, and we will go to the Bible for the answers that are on to the questions that are on your heart. Now, there's another way that you can communicate with us if you would rather. If you have a cell phone, you can text us at 725-9283. Again, all of our phone numbers are area code 843, so don't miss out on this. And thus, you can be able to join us as we let the Bible speak. Now, if you have a cell phone, you can call that way. The text line is 725-9283. Or you can also text us through our website, which is at www.BibleAlone.com. And not only can you text us through the website, you can also tune in through the website. Thus, if you have a friend or relative that is in another part of the country or the world, you also can join us or have them join us, no matter where they're at, through the Internet. So if you would pick up the phone and call them or text them, communicate with them somehow, they can join us anywhere in the world simply by going to www.BibleAlone.com. And through their computer, through that website, they can join us, hit live stream, and they will be able to listen with you right now as we let the Bible speak. And thus, they can also text us through that means if they're out of the country. There is a box at the bottom of the front page, and you can they can send the text question in. And so there's no reason why you or your relatives or friends anywhere in the world cannot join us. We can all be in this together as we go to the Bible for all the questions that pertain to life and godliness. We are convinced, and hopefully you are too, that all the answers that pertain to life and godliness are contained in His Word. And thus, that's why this program was created, to let the Bible speak. So we've already had one question come in. Go ahead with your question. The lines are now available, 308-9564. The voice line is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
And just as a suggestion to those of you who call in, and this suggestion comes from myself, as I have taken my turn answering the phones as well, is that if you have your question ready, maybe even written down, so that you can give it immediately when the phone is answered, so that you won't tie up the lines. Because we've had several people, three people call at one time, and so it really helps the speed of the program if you can have those questions already written out. And that would be such a blessing to you. And so we appreciate that consideration so much. Again, as Ricky said, this Bible program is called Let the Bible Speak. And we have a someone on the phone right now who wants to join us on the program. That's also something that we do here. And so we're going to take Sam's call right now and let him ask his question.
Sam, are you there?
Hey, good afternoon.
Oh, great. We can hear you. Hooray.
Wait, I'm in the book of Nehemiah, and he was going through a whole lot with Sanballat and Tobias.
Uh-huh.
And these are the two instigators that oppose him. If we look at 6:12, mm-hmm. that was the last report. Now, Nehemiah, he prayed all through the construction of the wall, which took 51 days. My question is, what happened to the two guys, Sanballat and Tobias? It's just, just like they fell off the planet of the earth. You know, there's nothing else mentioned about Sanballat and Tobias.
Well, Sam, how you doing, by the way?
Fine.
If you go down in chapter 6, one of the problems we see Tobiah mentioned there, and what was interesting about Tobiah is that he had become intermarried with some people in Jerusalem, and
right.
That had caused problems. But as you properly recalled, there's not that's, I think that's the last mention of Tobiah, and as was true about people who want to oppose God, eventually, you know, they kind of give up. And I think the lesson there for us is that if we continue to stand firm in God's word, then we wear those folks out. And
I see.
So it's a contest of the will. And I think probably it's one thing we see in a lesson we learned from that.
Now, if you go ahead and read the whole book of Nehemiah, you'll find out that later on some of those same controversial people that were trying to disrupt the building of the wall and the resettlement of Jerusalem end up even moving into the city and even into the temple and causing all kind of trouble for them. And so when Nehemiah gets back from a trip, he sees what's going on, and he throws them out. I mean, just it takes all of their belongings and throws them out, and thus they are able to finish the job and get the wall built. But, yes, these were envious people that were trying to prevent God's people from settling in and taking the city back to where it belonged. And so God, through Nehemiah and his leadership, actually enables them to get settled in spite of all the antics and all of the controversy and all the problems that they were causing the children of Israel.
Okay, I got one more question to ask you. In the book of Nehemiah, 2:6, who was the queen sitting on the throne when Nehemiah was expressing himself that he wanted to go back to his homeland? Who was the queen? Was that Queen Esther
no.
at that time?
No, that was later on than this, and
okay.
And so that was some time later, but that was just the queen. It doesn't name her name there, does it?
No, it doesn't say.
No, but
name.
She was concerned about losing the cupbearer though, and so she did express some interest in Nehemiah's return. He had already shown himself so reliant to save them from probably from danger and poison many times.
Right.
That they
mm-hmm.
did not want him to be gone too long.
Right. Okay. I thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Rabbi. Bye.
Bye-bye. And so we are back. We're live. We want you to know that we appreciate Sam and his interest in wanting to do what the Bible says and know what the Bible says about that. And so that's probably one of my favorite, not the favorite, but one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. Is the book of Nehemiah. It shows the fortitude and the leadership that we need even today. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564. Both lines are available. You can text us at 725-9283. Steve, you have a next question?
Yes, we have a question. It's from Jeremiah, and it regards 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. So if you got your Bible open, Jeremiah, and maybe others who are listening as well, go ahead and find 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. If you're not that familiar with the books of the Bible, it's down towards the book of Revelation. And I'm going to read the verse now, and the verse reads, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." There's not really a question in this passage, but simply a statement indicating the things that are typical of the world. And verse 17 says, "The world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So the contrast in this section of Scripture is that who does the will of the Father, he abides eternally, and that which is of the world passes away. With the three avenues through which the world, the meaning the sinful aspects, the carnal aspects, the three ways in which that affects us is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, of course, are those things that pertain to our desires, our physical desires. The lust of the eyes are things that just look good to us, a delight to us. And then the pride of life, of course, is where people want to be arrogant and boastful and assert their self over others. Interestingly enough, these three avenues is what Satan used to defeat Eve in the garden. She saw the fruit. It was pleasant to the eyes, good for food, and to make one wise. It was also the three ways in which Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, each time trying to tempt him to do something wrong. And what we learn in that chapter is that Jesus always responded with, "It is written." And the great thing about that is that teaches us that if we want to overcome these three avenues of temptation, we can do the same. We can quote the Scripture of God, because God is greater than Satan, and he can repel the attacks of Satan. And then James tells us to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So we appreciate so much that question, Jeremiah. I hope that helps with understanding these three avenues by which God will tempt, Satan rather, will tempt us, and God can protect us if we use his written word. We're up on a break time, our first break. During this break, you're going to hear about a Bible correspondence course that will be a great encouragement to you, and we ask you to listen patiently to this information and consider taking this Bible correspondence course. So now we will go to the break. We'll see you in just a little bit.
Okay, we're back live now. Sorry for the difficulty there. We want you to know that the Bible correspondence course that we were trying to tell you about is a free Bible correspondence course that is absolutely free. We're glad to send this to you in the mail. If you would like to enroll in this, you very well may learn things that you have never seen before, that you've never learned, that that many churches today just are not telling you about. And the reason for that is there's not unsincere people out there. It's just that many times if someone is part of a particular kind of faith or a particular restrictions within that faith, they cannot tell you the truth and the whole truth, lest it go against their doctrine and their faith. And so we want you to be aware of everything that God has to say. And so please, why not take this opportunity to enroll in the Bible correspondence course? Here's the number. If you would like to get this free Bible course in the mail to you, we are more than happy to share it with you. And thus, you're able to study at any time during the day or night. You set the pace. You study it when you're ready. And thus, after you fill it out, you poke it back in the envelope and send it back to us free of charge. That number is 553-5157. That number is 553-5157. Okay, and we just was told that everything is set. Here's the information on that, so we'll be right back.
Well, as he said, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and I think that exactly sums that up. It is a free course, and it has treasures of eternal life in the Scriptures. And so Jesus says that we listen to him, we have the words of eternal life. Best way to start that is get this course sent out to you. You can call any time during the program, 553-5157. So any time during the program, call that number, and there will be a recorded message, and you can leave your name and address, and we will get that out to you this week. So we appreciate so much. Now, if you have a question, call 308-9564. If you want to text us instead, that number is 725-9283. Ricky?
Yes, we have Latasha calling in this question. She wants to know, are you expanding your church anytime soon? I would like to join your group. I visited a few years ago, but I live in Johns Island. Well, Latasha, we appreciate your being able to be with us however long ago it was, and we are thankful always for anybody that comes and is able to worship God with us. But there are a couple of things that I would like to augment your question with, and that is, first of all we are trying to be as God's people is just God's people. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And so really it's not our church. It's not a particular faith or even a certainly not a denomination, not a system of belief that man has come up with. All the only doctrine that is to be taught or only teaching would be from God's Word, just like this radio program is to let the Bible speak. And thus we gather together on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, to worship God as a group of God's people. It is that same group of God's people that support this radio program and send out all of the, pay the postage and buy the literature to send out all the Bible correspondence courses. And thus we're just a group of God's people to be able to teach God's Word to those who are still in darkness. And Latasha, I'm one of those that was in darkness for a great long time, too long a time, matter of fact, to where that I was part of a number of denominations that was not teaching me the whole truth. And so once I found that I was not listening, finding the whole truth, I determined that I'm not only going to follow the truth myself, but I'm going to try and sound the alarm and let other people know that the whole truth is not being taught out there. And the reason for that is nothing new. In John chapter 8 is a place where Jesus himself found himself in a debate with religious folks in his day. And as he, in that chapter, talked to these individuals, he kept telling them that I'm speaking to you what my Father says. In verse 40, he says, that he's telling the truth. It says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. They're not standing in truth. He says, what you're following is what your father, the devil, is telling you. But I tell you the truth, verse 45. He says, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? See, even then, Jesus was telling the truth, and they were not hearing him. They were not listening to him. They were more concerned about things of this life, situations in this life, politics of this life. But all he was bringing to them was the truth. And thus, that's what we've got to be focused on in this life, to know the truth. Because, after all, what is it that will set us free? Yeah, that's right. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It will not be part of the truth. It will be the truth. We've got to listen to what his word says in his word alone. So I hope that's helpful to you. We've just got to make certain that we're being what God wants us to be. And thus, on the sign out front of our building, it says, a church belonging to Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all we want to be. So hopefully that's helpful, Latasha. And if you want more information, just let us know. Give us a call, and we'll be glad to call you back on that. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. Text line is 725-9283.
We appreciate so much those who listen from time to time. We appreciate those who sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, those who came by our booth at the Flower Town Festival, all people who are searching and looking for truth, realizing that something's missing in their life, that maybe they have this idea, a feeling they're not getting all of the truth. And so what Jesus said in John 8 about the truth shall make you free, you ever thought about free from what? What does the truth free us from? Well, one of the things that frees us from is the tradition of men. And there's a passage in Matthew 15 where Jesus talks about traditions of the elders. Remember, they asked Jesus about, why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands? And he said, well, why do you transgress the commandment of God for the sake of keeping your tradition? So that's a good thing to think about. How many things are being done in religion today that are traced back ultimately to the tradition, something handed down by somebody some years ago, and not the Word of God? And so if you want to be free from man-made traditions, if you want to be free from the authority and teaching of one or two people, then the Word of God, Jesus, promises you, you can be made free from that. That's why we encourage people to take the Bible Correspondence Course, because then you can study the Bible for yourself and learn the truth for yourself. And you can be freed then by Jesus and not bound by human traditions, enslaved spiritually by man's teaching. So take this opportunity to call 308-9564 or to text us at 725-9283 with your questions that you want to know what the Bible speaks, and we will be glad to share those answers with you from God's Word. Ricky?
Yes, we want to encourage you to enroll in this Bible Correspondence Course. It is free, and it's absolutely free. We'll never ask for a donation. We'll never ask for any kind of contribution. It is just a matter of letting us share with you the treasure that is in God's Word. You may discover vital truth that you may have never seen before. And the reason for that is because sometimes groups are restricted from teaching the whole truth because it may violate their doctrinal system of belief. And so it's important that we remove the blinders, if there are in fact some, to be able to discover all of what God says. So let's make certain that we have a faith that comes only from God's Word, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And so let's let God's Word be put in our hearts and let us learn from Him Himself. So as you get this Bible Correspondence Course, make certain that you look up every single passage, analyze those things, tear into them like you are starving to death for the truth. And you know what you'll find? You'll find treasure. You'll find the truth. And that truth will set you free. So make certain that you enroll in this. Here's more information on this. Again, the number, if you want to get a head start, is 553-5157. That is the number to call to enroll in the course, and it will be in tomorrow's mail, 553-5157. Now, if you've already received the course, you're one of our students, longtime listeners, then now's your chance to call in your question. Both lines are available. 308 is the number for your questions. The voice line is 308-9564, and you can get in right now, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Or the text line's been quiet today. You can text in your question at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are serious when we say it is free. It is absolutely free. We will never ask for a donation or any kind of contribution, and we are happy to send this to you. But my friends, please, if we send this to you, if you would go ahead and enroll, well, you'll get nothing out of it if you never study it. So make certain that you open it up, read it, study it, look in God's Word, and make certain you see it directly in the Bible, and then you will be receiving the treasure that the God of this universe, the lover of mankind, the creator of all living things, He wants to bless you with the truth. And so make certain that you see it for yourselves in God's Word. Fill out those things. Send it back in. We'll grade it. Send the next lessons back to you and back and forth until you finish the course. And then we have other courses as well as you continue. And again, all of those are free. Some of you have availed yourself of over a dozen different courses of study in God's Word. And we're just happy to be able to do and help you with that. And see, again, it's absolutely free. Now, we mentioned earlier that in John chapter 8, where Jesus was dealing with this idea of truth and having a debate with those individuals that did not like his flavor of the truth. Well, his flavor of the truth came from God, and their flavor of truth came from man. Now, that same thing, that same controversy is brewing today, and you don't have to look far. Just go down the street and look at the various churches that are that you pass down the road, and they're everywhere, aren't they? That's why this city is called the Holy City, because there are so many churches. You can find a church that believes everything. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a church in the area that worships roach bugs. It's just amazing some of the things that people have bought into. But here's some dominant or prominent things that actually do occur around us. And if this does fit you, then you might consider these things. One is man-made definitions for God. That is, that man has created a God that is totally unlike the God that we read about in the Bible. And you hear people say, well, my God would not do this, or my God but would want this, or my God would want that. And they've created a God that doesn't resemble the God in the Bible at all. After all, that's humanism. That was a parameter of humanism, that man creates God in his own image, in whatever he wants. There are many, many religions that are doing that kind of thing today. That is, man creating a God in their own heart and mind. They're listening to the preacher or teacher up front, and they are describing that kind of God, and people are just buying right on into that. Steve, what do you think about that?
It's amazing to me that all the things that people come up with. Had a study the other day with a fella, well, a lady actually, and I'd been hearing about the different collections and the $500 line, $100 line, and all that stuff. And she just asked me, why is it about the money? Well, you think about what Jesus says here about the truth. What does the Bible say about things like giving? And it talks about man purposing from his heart in 1 Corinthians 16. And so when you bring those passages up, it's like, well, I never knew that passage existed, because they have been taught by others, not with the New Testament scriptures, and so they have been enslaved or bound by the traditions of the fathers, of the leaders of their different religious groups. And that's a serious thing. We all want to be free. Jesus can make us free, but only if we look at his truth and his word.
Yeah, that's right. You know, even in Isaiah, it mentions a description of God there, that he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so we just are not capable of inventing a God, period. God is the one invented us, and it's entirely backwards what's going on today, where people have invented a God entirely different than what the Bible describes. It uses an expression in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, that God will bring punishment and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God. So this idea of knowing the God of the Bible is pretty important, isn't it?
It is. Another conversation I had with someone who recently was talking about if there's a certain exception that occurs, well, can't we do something differently than what God said? And my response is, well, I don't have the authority to do that, whether to substitute sprinkling for immersion or to substitute, you know, something or just do away with baptism altogether, because there seems to be an inconvenience to baptizing somebody. And again, we put ourselves in God's way, as James says. We become a judge of the law instead of subservient to it.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question concerning this, be sure to call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, and ask your question. Maybe you have a question about some of the denominational practice or religious practices that you have been familiar with or comfortable with, and you would like to know what the Bible says. Well, this program is called Let the Bible Speak. And that's exactly what we want to occur, is to let God be the one that is being heard and not man. Now, there's another parameter that in religious practices, even in this area, is the idea of restricting what can be taught by the particular doctrine or set of religious parameters by which that denomination or that the religious group must operate. However, Paul took great issue with that when he was talking to the Ephesian elders. He told them, he says, you're not going to see me anymore after I leave. And of course, they were upset about that. But even as he talked to them and reminded them of that, he let them know very clearly that when he was there among them, that he says he Therefore, I testify. This is Acts chapter 20 and verse 26. Therefore, I testify to you to this day that I am innocent from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We cannot leave something out. Or we are going to be guilty of those people's blood. So not only are those who teach a partial gospel guilty of other people's blood, they're guilty of their own, but then Galatians chapter 1 even says that they're going to be eternally condemned or accursed. That's the Greek word anathema. If we only teach a partial gospel, we are in big trouble as far as what God has to say. God wants us to know the truth, and the only by knowing all the truth will it set us free. And so that's something to deeply consider as well.
Yeah, and when we think about the importance of the truth and obeying that truth, once we look at the truth, we've got to allow the truth to have free course in our lives. That passage in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, where Paul says, and talking to the church at Thessalonica, says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." And so as you think about, I know the truth. I know the truth in the Bible. And so I need to read that. But then you need to let it have free course. And the way to do that is to follow it, is to obey it, is to do what it says. And to not listen to the traditions of men who will not show you the scriptures. And, sometimes a person will say about a church practice, because they're questioning, where does this church practice come from? And they get the answer, well, you don't want to go there, or you don't want to ask that question. Well, why is that? If it's a church practice and you want to know whether that's from the Bible or not, that's your right to do, because, again, if you want to be free and be free indeed, you want to know the words of Jesus about that. And that's why it's important to know what that. And it's important to ask those questions and not let anybody dissuade you or discourage you from getting the answers. And if you don't get the answer, if they won't give you a Bible answer, well, that's what this program is for. 308-9564. Give us a call. We'll be happy to take your question and open the scriptures and show you what the truth says. And then your decision will be whether or not to obey that truth. You can also text us at 725-9283.
We have a texter calling in this question. And there is one line available if you call the voice line right now, 308-9564. You can get to your question on the air today, 308-9564. And the text line is 725-9283. We have an ongoing discussion about John chapter 8, and so if you hold your Bible open there, we're going to be coming back to that, no doubt, during the program, so be ready for that. This texter from the last three digits of 919, their question is, at what age does a child become responsible for their own sin? I believe they also asked that last week, and so maybe we didn't get to that. But you'll find the answer in the definition of sin itself. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, sin is the transgression of the law. Transgression of the law. So when someone is aware that they have violated the law of God, God's law, well, that says one thing, that when they do that, then they have a conscience of God. They're old enough to understand that they have violated what God says. Then they are old enough to sin against God. And so that's one verse of Scripture talks about sin. Then also James 4:17, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, now, a fairly young person can understand that, but that sin must be a violation of God's law. And so those are a couple of things to consider. At what age? Well, the Bible simply does not say. It may be as early in single digits or as late as middle teens before they have a conscience of God. But if someone is For example, mentally handicapped. Maybe they have a car accident and they're thrown from the car at an early age to where that they never, their mental capacity never matures past that age. Well, then they may never sin against God. And so because they simply cannot comprehend God at that point, and thus if they've never sinned against God, they are pure. They are morally pure. They haven't violated God. They haven't violated his law. A simple illustration I use sometimes to point this out. A two-year-old kicks his parents in the shin. Well, has he sinned against God? Well, no. Okay, well, they may, hopefully they would get punished for that by the parents. At that point in age, probably the parents are representatives of the greatest authority, and you might even call it godhood. Well, they go to school at 6 years old, and they kick the teacher in the shin. Have they sinned against God? Well, no, they probably sinned against the teacher, and they sinned against their parents because I'm sure that their parents told them not to do that again. Well, then they get older and they become a teenager and they go up to a police officer at 14 and they kick him in the shin. Has he sinned against God? Well, yeah, I think the same thing. They're probably old enough to understand that there are authorities bigger than parents, bigger than teachers, bigger than police. There is an authority that all of us will answer to, namely God. And we do wrong then, whether it's kicking somebody in the shin or telling a lie, we have sinned against God. When does that occur? There's not an age in the Bible, but we know when it does occur. We are setting up for a break, or we have a live caller. We have a live caller standing by. We have Ben standing by on the air to ask your question. Go ahead, Ben. Are you there?
Yeah.
How can we help you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question, Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. How can I do that by keeping him out of my life?
Okay, very good question. You want to hang up and we'll answer it, or you want to stand by?
I want to stand by.
Okay, well, the verse is talking about be angry and sin not.
Uh-huh.
Neither let the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. If we are angry, and in this context, this verse is connected with anger. If we are angry, I like to call people's attention to where that we are very vulnerable. It's almost like we are ringing a doorbell in hell, asking the devil to open up and come play with us in our playground.
Wow.
And so if we are angry, uh-huh, we are laying ourselves very vulnerable to his influences to cause us to sin.
Right.
And he will set the stage when we're in such a vulnerable situation to where that he very well may win in that particular playground. And so he says, nor give place to the devil. That's what he's talking about.
And I have one more question.
Okay.
Where he said in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter,
mm-hmm,
he said, We are more than conquerors to him that love us.
Yes.
My question is, what are he telling us that we are more than conquerors?
Go ahead.
What can we, like we go through our trials and tribulation and circumstances and situation, can we apply that? Can we apply that to, whatever's going on in our lives?
Okay, very good question. Again, notice the context. In this case, it's a very big context.
Uh-huh.
Verse 28 is a verse many people know. It says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose.
Right.
And then he's also in this same chapter talking about how the Spirit is working in us and through us as we let his word work in us and through us, to where that God wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. If we allow God / his spirit to mold us and make us and shape us into the image of his son,
right,
we become more than conquerors,
uh-huh,
through him who loved us. Now, we've got to love him. And Jesus,
right,
said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we've got to be keeping his commandments.
Uh-huh.
And thus, if we are keeping his commandments, thus showing our love to him, he certainly loves us, and he is molding us into the image of his son,
right,
and thus the chapter ends with, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, heights, depths, or any other created thing is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So no external forces on the planet or in this universe can cause God not to love us. Now, can we choose not to love him?
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's easy. All we have to do is stop obeying his commandments.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Thank you so much, Ben. We sure appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. It's time for our break. While we are at break, continue to call in your questions, and we will let the Bible speak. The number, 308-9564. The lines are available, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our program. We're glad to have you join us. It may be that you're just now joining us, and we appreciate that so much. Well, so we're going to give the numbers again so that you can participate in the program. The voice line is 308-9564, and our text line is 725-9283. We've already had two live callers today, and so that's an option, too. You call 308-9564 and would like to go on the air with us, you can do that. Just let the operator know, and that would be something that we would be happy to do. We've gotten several calls coming in, got several questions on deck, and so we will go right to those questions then. Ricky?
Yes, we have this caller calling in, this nameless caller. They're expressing this. It says, I've been doing research on tithing. I told my pastor, I guess she did research along with us over the recent controversy over tithing, and so she came to the same conclusion. So she says, I told my pastor that I was going to stop paying tithes because it's not money, it's possessions and lands. It is what I call commodities. And he, in turn, preached a sermon about me doing wrong. What should I do? Well, you know, that is really, you know, of course the subject may change, but the same situation continues to occur across the land. And so for those of you that are part of a group that is actually teaching wrong, doing wrong, practicing wrong, from the standpoint that they're not teaching the truth and the whole truth, as we've already talked about some already today on today's broadcast, here's the answer. You'll find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's not just specifically talking about marriages. This is most often referred to as marriages, but it's talking about fellowship in general. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And the idea of unequally yoked is not often understood. It's kind of like an ox being tied to a chihuahua dog, and both of them are expected to pull the plow. I mean, that is unequally yoked. So he says, don't be connected with something like that. He says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has the believer with unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God. As God has said, I will dwell with them, I will walk with them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. So who is it that we're trying to seek the approval from? Are we trying to seek approval from these people doing wrong? Or are we trying to seek the approval of God? Who is it that we're going to stand before in judgment one day? God. Who is it that's going to judge us? God. And thus he says, come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He's the one we should be trying to show ourselves approved to. Now, if the caller would like to call, the operator standing by, 553-5157, leave your name and leave a message. We will call you back, and we'll assist you as far as helping you to find a group that is following the truth and nothing but the truth. After all, it will be the truth that we'll be judged by one day. It will be the truth that will set us free, and it will be the truth that will enable us to live together with God for eternity. And, of course, you can turn that coin over and see the other consequences as well. But thank you so much for your sharing this information. And, unfortunately, I imagine that's happening a great deal among those of you that are listening to this broadcast, because people in religious groups today don't necessarily want to hear the truth. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
And the thing you got to appreciate about the person who asked that question is, one, they went and studied, found out what the truth was, and then talked to the person who was teaching the opposite idea.
Yes.
And the sad thing is their reaction.
Yeah.
You know, was, and that's always going to happen. Even Jesus in John 8, we were talking about, "You're seeking to kill me," he said.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's always been the response to truth from religious tradition.
Yeah. Many times they'll try to intimidate the people into submission.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and there's been one situation this last week or last couple of weeks where the man was trying to get across to the people, that you're teaching wrong, and they threatened, "Well, you know, if you leave this church, you're going to lose your cemetery plot, don't you?" And so they're holding them hostage by the cemetery plots. Yeah.
Thus, again, Jesus' encouragement, "You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free."
Yeah.
Free from that kind of stuff. Well, we have other questions standing by. We also want to, again, encourage you to call 308-9564 or to text us at 725-9283. Now, Sean called us in, and he's got an interesting question. He said, "Does the Bible talk about God's Word and science coexisting? Any scriptures that talk about science?" Well, the only time that word is found, at least in the King James Version, and I don't know that the word is found in any other version, and if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul tells Timothy, he says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called." Now, that word science is the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge, and that's all the word science means. Bioscience is the science of life. Geoscience is the science of the earth. And so when you think about, and I think what Sean's trying to get at, is that does the Bible talk about anything that is scientific? Well, you're not going to find the law of gravity in the Bible. But what you will find is wording to the effect that it does exist. If you go to Job chapter 26, for instance, in verse 9, Job 26 and verse 9. Let me get a different translation here that makes more sense of that. And Job, what we find in the scriptures is that God made the world. That's what we know from Genesis chapter 1. And God wrote the Bible. And when you put those two things together, God is not going to say anything about his created world that is not observably true. And so when we talk about, I got the wrong passage, Ricky. Where he hangs it up on nothing.
26:7.
Okay, I'm a little too far. I was looking at 26:9. But Job 26 and verse 7 says, "He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing." Now, God could have said, I guess, that the gravity, you know, holds it in place. But he didn't. He said it just hangs upon nothing. Well, we know by looking at scientific knowledge that man has come up with, that verifies what we find in the Bible. And so that's just kind of a one little teaser about how the Bible does talk about things that are observable.
If you go to our website, you can download a whole list of scientific evidences to prove the Bible is inspired of God. It's at www.biblealone.com. Again, we're up for a break. It's time for us to take our next break. Please don't leave us. We have 30 minutes left in the program, and we will get to your questions that have come in already and those that are still to come. So go ahead and call in right now, 308-9564. Again, here's information on this free Bible correspondence course that is absolutely free. You will discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. We've already noted several things that are being taught in religion today that is totally different than what the Bible says. So how much more could there be? Don't you owe it to yourself and to the truth that could set you free to discover those things? Go ahead and call 553-5157 for the course, and it'll be in this week's mail. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our program, Let the Bible Speak. We want to encourage you to think seriously about that Bible correspondence course. It will be a great blessing to you. We've been talking about what Jesus has been saying about the truth making you free. And when the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And that comes by knowing the truth. So it's so important then to have your mind and your eyes centered on God's truth. This Bible correspondence course can take you through that, so that you can be built up on the words of the faith, and that you can, as Romans 10:17 says, have that faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of truth. Give us a call, 308-9564. Let us know your question. If you want to text us, that number is 725-9283. Of course, you just heard about the Bible correspondence course. If you're thinking, I wish I'd written that number down. Well, that number is 553-5157. So join us in the program. We've already had two live callers. You can do that as well. And so we encourage you to participate with us in the things that we're doing today.
We are glad that you're here. We hope and pray that you will make certain that you go to the Bible for all the questions that are called in today and be able to write these down. Again, we keep on coming back to John chapter 8, where Jesus promised that the truth will set us free, and thus that's exactly what we're doing today. When these questions come in, we are going to go to the truth, and we make no apology for that whatsoever, because that's what we're going to be judged by one day, and so no doubt that's exactly what you want to hear from God's Word and God's Word alone. And so that's our intent, and that's what we are committed to. We have CJ calling in this question. His question is, wine and strong drink, is there a difference? Is it a sin to drink any alcoholic beverages? Well, CJ, first of all, the phrase alcoholic beverages is not in the Bible. Now, the word wine is used, and that would be a product of a grapevine. Strong drink is also used, and it is condemned in the Old and New Testament. But is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference from the standpoint that with a strong drink that would make one intoxicated. Here's what the Bible does say about those influences. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 3, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in licentiousness, lust," and then it talks about drunkenness, revelries, and drinking parties. Now, there's those three words or three different levels of intoxicating beverages and the influences associated with that. Drunkenness, I think everybody probably knows what that is. Revelries would be the idea of the good old boys getting together and having a good time. Drinking parties, again, very closely related to that. More like cocktail parties and such. And so those kind of environments, he says, they think it's strange that you don't do that anymore, along with licentiousness or wantonness and lust, abdominal idolatries. And he says, in regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them within the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And so there, those obviously are condemned from God, and so we're supposed to make certain that we're not guilty of those levels of intoxication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, matter of fact, exhorts us, telling us, by Paul's example, I will not be brought under the power of any. So anything that would cause me to lose control to any extent should be avoided. Thank you so much. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12 and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, 4, and 5. Again, the number is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283.
In fact, it's been interesting research done that the first thing to be affected by alcohol, even a little bit of alcohol, is our inhibitions.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that really should keep us, you know, contained and faithful to God's Word. So we appreciate those questions. We have one here from Sam again. It's on Philippians 1, verse 6, and he asks this question, am I supposed to confess all the good things that Christ has done for me? And that passage in Philippians 1, 6, let's go ahead and read that. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So that word acknowledging of every good thing, as that is, the faith may become effectual or become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing. And so, Sam, that word acknowledging, while we might, the English word, we might use acknowledge with a synonym for confess, that is not really the idea in the word itself. The Greek word here is epignosis. It means knowledge. It's an intensified word meaning knowledge. So if you look in some other translations, it reads a little bit differently with that idea of knowledge. I'll just read something from the New American Standard that I think makes it a little clearer. He says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Now, we would look at that and say, well, that makes more sense, because that's exactly how our faith becomes effective. It's through the knowledge of every good thing. And so that just seems to be a translation. It may be that the word acknowledge, when the King James was written in 1611, may have meant more of a knowledge than what we would use in our modern day language. So, Sam, I appreciate the question. I hope that is helpful to you, and that you can, you know, look at that more further and study that as well.
We are, again, we're thankful for all of you that are calling in and asking your questions. We have a follow-up concerning the question I just dealt with. They want to know, well, if you just drink one glass of wine without getting drunk, is that a sin? Well, again, the passage we brought out would be the idea of being intoxicated. And so sometimes there are situations where medicines are based upon alcoholic content to be able to preserve it and to be able to actually be in the form of a medicine. Timothy was told to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake and his often infirmities. The reason is because water back then would have been deadly. And so they would mix wine or even some of that fermented wine into the water in order to kill all the bugs that were in the water. And so that was a method in which they would be able to safely be able to drink some of the water back then. And so for medicinal purposes is one thing, but for entertainment reasons, like what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 4, well, that's an entirely different thing. So in the form of medicine for your infirmities, well, that would certainly be appropriate from that standpoint, according to Paul's instructions to Timothy. And so hopefully that is helpful to you. Again, that we appreciate that very much in your question and following up very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI.
We have a question here from Sarah, and has to do with what happens at death. I mean, what your question was. Does the Bible mention whether cremation, is cremation right or wrong? And the Bible doesn't say anything about that. We find examples of people being buried, and we find a phrase that Job talks about, that dust to dust and ash to ash. So when we are made from dust, we return to dust. How that is accomplished really doesn't make any difference. And so we appreciate the question, Sarah. We get that question often about this idea of cremation, since that is happening more and more, I think maybe because it's cheaper. But no, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. So we appreciate your question. If you've got a question like that and you want to call us, the number is 308-9564. You can text us at 725-9283.
We have the verse I forgot to mention earlier was 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23, where it talked about Timothy being instructed to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake for medicinal reasons. And so we sure appreciate your question so very much. Again, we have a text question that came in by the last three digits of 448, and their question is, when could a child take Holy Communion? When could a child take Holy Communion? Thank you so much for your question. And by the way, all of y'all that are asking questions, we really do appreciate your helping us and asking these questions. That shows that you have a desire to know the truth that will enable us to be able to find our way to heaven according to what God says. That's so very important. And thank you so much for all of you asking questions. Now, the question is, when could a child take Holy Communion? Well, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see the instructions given to a church at Corinth on how that they were supposed to take communion, the Lord's Supper. And thus, in the midst of this discussion, it says, this cup, verse 25, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so this covenant is one that begins when someone becomes a child of God. So the communion is a reminder of the covenant that we entered into when we became a Christian to begin with. We entered into a covenant relationship with God to follow this new covenant, to follow His word the day we became a child of God. Now, I don't think we've mentioned this on today's broadcast already, so let me go ahead and quickly point you to how that is done. We have to, of course, believe in Jesus Christ. We must also repent of our sins, Luke 13 and verse 3, Acts 2 and verse 38. Along with that, Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So therefore, that's when we actually die to ourselves to rise and walk in newness of life, and we enter into this covenant relationship with God. So that's when we belong to Him, and thus the Lord's Supper, communion, is to be practiced weekly, Acts 20 and verse 7, because we are to remember that covenant that we made with Him the day we were baptized into Jesus Christ. Again, another passage, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, shows that new creation, that new relationship, that new that we rise to walk in newness of life out of baptism. And so we would encourage you to be able to do that. But that's when we are granted or are commanded that we are to commune with Him once we are belonging to Him. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. Steve, next question.
Yes, we have a question from Tasha.
Oh, we've got time for a break.
We better go take the break first.
Yeah, let's do that. And Tasha, stand by. We're going to get to your question in just a second. We'll be right back. We are so thankful for your participation in today's broadcast, and we hope that you are receiving a blessing from it. We hope and pray that you are able to go to God's Word to find these answers and see them for yourself, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So please, if you are getting much out of this program and you've never enrolled in that course, you are depriving yourself of a blessing that may help you eternally. So make certain that you get that course in the mail and study it fervently. Go through, find out exactly what God says. Just call 553-5157, and that course will be in this week's mail. During the Flower Town Festival, I was amazed at the number of people that came by that said that you listen to us every week. that had not enrolled in the Bible correspondence course. I was amazed at the number of you, and I'm thankful that many of you did, and we were able to send it out to you. By the way, if you didn't get it, somehow we got the wrong address, and so if you didn't get it and you requested it, go ahead and call and give us your name and address again, 553-5157. We had almost a half a dozen of them come back in the mail to us, and so that's the reason I'm saying that, 553-5157, and you will get this Bible course this week, and we're glad to be able to send to you. By the way, it is free, and you may very well discover things in God's Word that you just have, that's just not being taught today. So don't remain in the dark. Find the truth, and that truth will set you free. 553-5157. Steve, next question.
Yes, back to Tasha. We apologize, but we are run up against a break, and so we wanted to not go past it. And so your question has to do with Jeremiah 13. It is an interesting question. I don't know that I've ever considered it like this. And it says, does Jeremiah 13 talk about dirty underwear? Why? What's the significance? Well, I guess you drew that inference from Jeremiah 13, verse 1. At least the King James says, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle and put it upon thy loins and put it not in water. So I got in girdle, and according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And then he takes that, and he's supposed to hide it in the hole of a rock in verse 4. And then many days later, he's supposed to get it. Well, the word girdle probably doesn't have the same significance that we think of in underwear. Other translations talk about a linen waistband or a sash. And so that gives a totally different idea. But according to what Jeremiah was told to be done with it, as to what it meant and why, as you read the prophet Jeremiah was always to do something, to act something out, and that was then to have significance. It was kind of like wasn't like a vision, but it was something he was to do, kind of in a parable form, you might say. And then God gives him the reason why it was done. So if you go to Jeremiah 13 and verse 8, he is told to go to the Euphrates. He's to dig that girdle, that sash, that waistband from the place where he hid it. Now verse 7 says the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of the heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. So the reason why this was to be done was taking this golden sash and girdle and to mar it, because he would mar the pride of Jerusalem, because they were good for nothing. Thank you, Tasha, for that question. And again, if you just kind of keep reading, if you come to a passage, you're not sure what it said, just keep reading, and you will pretty much find your answer.
Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line, and both lines are available for you to call in your question. If you hurry, you can get your question in maybe today. And so go ahead and call 308-9564, or if you'd rather text, you can text at 725-9283. We have D calling in this question, wants to know, it says, cessation theology, are y'all a part of this? If so, then why? Well, D, first of all, thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate your interest, and as far as trying to define us, if you were to just take the Bible and erase everything you've ever heard or been influenced by and just read it as is, read the New Testament and read and describe how the Bible describes the New Testament church and what they were, what they practiced, how they worshiped, well, then that's what we are. That's what we're trying to be. And we're ever being diligent to make certain that we let the Bible speak and God be the authority on every single subject. Now, I didn't even know what cessation theology was, and so I had to look it up when your question came in. And no, we're not anything like that. Now, as far as spiritual gifts and ongoing revelation, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul himself said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, past tense, 2,000 years ago, than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. So there, that answers all those questions associated with cessation theology, because it's not a matter of ongoing truth, not a matter of more truth coming today. We've got it all. Jesus taught it back then. Second Peter chapter 1, well, let me go first of all. Jesus gathered with the 12 in chapters 12, 13, 14, 15 of John. He promised them several times, I'm going to go back to heaven, send the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth. One of those 12 there was Peter. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, he says, now we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So there, it was a done deal. They had received it all. Peter also mentions in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, 23, that the truth was not going to pass away. It was going like a flower or grass, but it was to endure forever. God promises God's word is going to last forever. We have it today. We have all of it today. And thus we've got to find all the answers in God's word and God's word alone. Again, those passages, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Galatians chapter 1. Go ahead and pick up verse 6. 6 through 9, we see clearly that we've got to find all our answers in the Bible alone. And thus, that's our website, is www.biblealone.com. And there's where we're going to find all our answers that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you, Dee, for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. And we are glad to be able to have you as one of our listeners. I hope you've enrolled in the Bible Correspondence course. For those of y'all that haven't, you can enroll still at this time at 553-5157. It is absolutely free. We will never ask for any kind of donation or any kind of contribution. We are happy to be able to share the riches, the wealth that will never perish with the passing of time with you from God's word. This is one thing that will never be taken away from us. It doesn't matter how bad society gets or what kind of controversy or problems may occur in this life. The truth will always be rich guide unto us. You've got any final thoughts you want to say, Steve?
We read that passage in 2 Thessalonians 3:1 about the word having free course. And in John chapter 8 and verse 37, where Jesus says, I know you are Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. That word is also translated as makes no progress or has not free course in your life. So we pray that that will be true of you, that you will let the word of God have free course in your life.
We are running up to the end of the broadcast, and we are thankful that you are being able to join us and be with us this day. No doubt you have a desire to have the happiness and joy and fulfillment in this life. But my friends, it will not come through the seeking of money or physical things or position or power. It will only come from yielding to our Creator's touch. How does He touch us? Well, by us listening to His word, obediently showing our love to Him, in that we are able to find the truth and follow it. Learning to be content is one of those things that the Lord instructs us at. And then seek after the eternal things. To find the answers, well, they won't come through church doctrines, through the pastor or preacher or any person. The truth will only come from God's word. And we need to see it for ourselves, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what we must do, if we're going to be able to have that fulfillment and that true happiness that only the Lord Himself can give, what we must do every day, in every kind of situation and every kind of decision, we must let the Bible speak.